This podcast is brought to you by Creekside Wildlife, specializing in food plotting and habitat management for deer and turkey hunting. If you're ready to get started on improving your property to hold more game, then it's time to contact Creekside Wildlife. Check them out on Facebook and Instagram at Creekside Wildlife. What's up, everyone? Welcome to another episode of the Creekside Podcast. We've got a great guest today, one that I've been itching to get on here, and apparently he says he's busy. I don't know what he's got going on out there in OH, but anyway, we're going to jump right into it with my good friend Tom Petrie from Become One and Film the Hunt. We're going to talk cameras and just some hunting stories, and I'd just like to thank Tom for being one of probably the most influential people in my life as far as my videography and photography career, so I owe a lot of my success to him and can't thank him enough for everything that he's done and taught me over the years. So let's jump into it. All right, Tom, are you over there?
I'm over here. You're over there. You're over there in PI, aren't you? PI.
Oh, yeah. Yep. You're out in the big western country of Ohio, huh?
Well, yeah. We try and keep our state name short, you know, short and simple. You guys over there in Pennsylvania, you can't even say your whole state. You got to
shorten. Doesn't get any simpler than PA, right?
Where do you live? I live in OH. Yeah. I'm over here in OH.
I have yet to find a state that actually just says their letters other than Pennsylvania.
No, it's PA. That's the only one. And if you just say it with that Pennsylvania Dutch accent, you know, like, sounds like you're from Louisiana or something. I don't even know it. Yeah. Where you from? Yeah. What now?
even California says their whole state, or Wisconsin.
Yeah. What's going on, dude? Long time no chiggity chat.
Yeah. Oh, we're just plugging away here and dealing with the summertime blues, I guess, but there's not really any downtime around here, so.
Yeah, that's because you don't have any kids yet. Wait till you have kids. There's this blues go away, man. You're running around. You got pool parties and kids off of school. You're not bored.
I'm going to have to block Allison from listening to this now.
So. Yeah. You might be able to come up with a title name just based on that one line, I think.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. how old is Briella now? She's probably taller than me. Not that that's a real big feat or anything.
She's definitely taller. Her arms are bigger. She's going to be 11 here in a couple months already, man, going into fifth grade. So
Holy smokes. Yeah. That makes me feel old right there.
I know. It makes you feel old. Shoot, man.
Yeah.
Time flies, man. That's for sure. I'm telling you, wait. You're like my kid, too. How old are you now, Mike?
Oh, 33.
Oh, man. You want to talk about making me feel old.
Yeah.
You just made me feel real old.
I don't even remember. I should have this information for the show, but I can't remember what year all this started between us, I guess. That was a long time ago.
So we could probably figure that out.
I think 2014 or 15, because I got a Facebook memory of me flying a drone at the Bearded Buck. And it was a drone that had a GoPro strapped to it, if that dates me back at all.
I think it was before 15, because 15 is when I moved to OH. But before that, I was in IL. And if you recall, I met you at that challenge deal that you and Jerry did. That's when I first met you, correct?
No, it would have been... The
was it before that?
The camera school at Jerry's.
Oh yeah. So I think you're going back to
that would have been 14.
12 or 13. Well, maybe 14. I'm gonna say even 13, because the end of 14, beginning of 15 is when I left there and moved. So I don't know. Nonetheless, it's been
I've known you for 10 years.
Holy 10 years. Yeah, let's just call it 10 years. Yeah. Feels like 35. All right. So that's right. So Jerry had that camera school up at his place, and I came up there from Illinois. And I guess that is the first time we met. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's been a while, man.
Oh man.
Did you learn anything?
Yeah, a couple, like two things, I think, at least so far. The rest I've had to learn elsewhere, but, you know.
Well, Cud's still trying to figure out white balance, you know. He's still stuck on white balance.
Yeah, yeah. If he'd just take the lens cap off, it'd be a lot easier to figure that out.
Oh, I know, I know. Might be another 5 or 6 years before he figures that out.
Yeah, he's a slow learner, but he's getting there.
Yeah. Tell me about your path, man. Like, I know obviously we've caught up plenty over those years, but what did you do? Remind me of, is that not long after that school? Is that when you went to go work for the Bearded Buck then?
Yeah.
It is.
Yeah, so just a rough timeline of events there. It's been a long one, but basically I bought a bunch of camera gear and, you know, got a little too carried away with my first credit card and bought all this camera gear and realized soon after that I didn't have the slightest clue how to work all the buttons. The first camera I ever bought was a NX3.
Yeah.
And they have a few buttons on them. So, and I bought it from Campbell Cameras and realized that I had no idea what I was doing with it. And so got to skimming through their websites and that's how I found the camera school. And, you know, of all places, it was in Mahaffey, Pennsylvania, which is, you know, 45 minutes from me. So I thought, well, might as well go up there for the day and have somebody that knows what they're doing teach me how to use it. And, you know, I figured on driving up and going to the class and driving back, and it turned into a whole lot more than that.
Yeah, no kidding, man. No kidding. Yeah, that's back when we did the the travel classes. You know, I had done, I don't know, probably 3 or 4 of them that year that I went out to PA and did that one.
Yeah.
And they were fun, man. If I remember right, we had like 12 or 15 students in that class. But I'll tell you, Jerry was one of the only people that I've ever met that said he could get 10 to 15 people in a class for a travel one and actually did. And, you know, we actually stopped doing those a year or two after that and moved. You know, that's when we introduced the online class, which is, you probably never took the online class because basically it was what I did in those travel classes. So that's kind of how we replaced those online classes this way. I'm not traveling. Everybody can do it from home. So minus the hands-on stuff that we did in that class that you came to, all of that stuff is online now.
Yeah. Yeah. So I think we used the online a little bit for some team members down the road, and I used it to brush up on some stuff, and it was definitely a helpful tool. So, and you could work at your own pace with it. So that was a good thing too.
Yeah. No, it's been beneficial too. Plus I can, you know, we give that 2-year membership to us. So like people that when new models come out and new information comes out, I can just update that video. And if you're still a member, you can, you know, you've got the new stuff rather than, oh, I got to go to a new class, you know?
So, yeah, exactly.
So that's been good over the years, man. But,
yep.
But so you worked for Jerry then for quite a while, I know. And which, you know, that's what's kind of fun for me. It's one of the fun things. There's a lot of fun things. But I, you know, we get a lot of people that come through the courses that want to, you know, go out and obviously make a career out of this. Some of them part time, some of them full time. Doing what you did is honestly one of the hardest things to get these up and comers to do. And I guess, you know what, for you, it was nice because it was kind of in your backyard, right? It was close to home. You just said that. How far was it from where you grew up to work at the Bearded Buck?
Yeah. About 1 hour and 15 minutes.
Yeah.
So I wasn't moving across the country or anything, but
yeah. And that is the hardest. Like a lot of these jobs we get, you know, opportunities for these students, the full-time positions anyway, it's like, well, they got to move from, you know, Wisconsin to Pennsylvania or Pennsylvania to Arizona or, you know, whatever. And that's a giant leap for somebody to pick up and move. I mean, not so much when you're young, I guess, and not married, no kids, but you get some of these individuals that are, you know, in their 30s married with a kid. That's a real hard thing to do, to pack up your family and just move, you know?
Yeah.
So
yeah, it was definitely a lot of it. I'm saying, a lot of it was, I'm just chalking it up as the stars aligning with some good timing and maybe some luck involved. I mean, like I said, I went up to that first course just trying to learn what all these fancy buttons on this expensive camera that I paid too much money for at the time without knowing how to use it. And, you know, I had planned on driving up, driving back, and, you know, Jerry obviously invited everybody to have dinner and mingle a little bit. And that ended up as a full-time job filming and producing a TV show in the hunting world,
which is crazy, man. That's so cool because, like, you know, that's one of the things I always, you know, talk about in whenever I'm doing seminars or any kind of public speaking to people that aren't aware of our schools and stuff. Like, one of the reasons our schools, both online and more importantly, the in-person stuff we offer has become so successful over the years is because I think too many people, especially young people, don't do what you did. And what I mean by that is like, they think that they know enough to put themselves out there and take a job with these producers. And some of them even kind of a little bit of false advertising, like, oh, you know, yeah, I know my way around a camera, I've been filming hunts for a couple of years. But when fact of the matter is, when they're hired for these positions, even on a per trip basis, like freelance basis, they don't truly know how to, like you said, run that camera in full manual modes. Like, they don't know what all the buttons do. So when they're thrown in this troubleshooting situation, they're like, I don't know, I can point and shoot, but I don't know what's going on right now and I can't fix it. And that puts a bad taste in that producer's mouth, thinking, well, I hired you because I thought you did know what you were doing as a professional, quote unquote. And on the first job, you've embarrassed yourself and you've kind of put a bad taste in this producer's mouth. So I commend you, Mike, for actually going, because two things happened, in my opinion, for you when you went to that class. One, you received a formal education, even though it wasn't a week-long course. You received a good in-person formal education. And then two, you networked, obviously, in the right place at the right time, and it turned into a job for you. So you can't do that on YouTube. You can't network on YouTube. You can, you know, and that's one of the biggest things. I think our schools have become so successful because you're getting a giant networking opportunity, but you're also getting formal education. And I don't care who you are, if you think you can do it without formal education, most people, I think, are cheating themselves, in my opinion. And I'm not trying to sit here and soft sell our, in a way I am, I guess, but I guess, you know, I don't care where you go get this formal education, but if you don't get it, I don't know how you're expect yourself to really and truly learn how to run these cameras. I mean, these are high-end intensive cameras that are capable of a lot if you know how to use them, but they're capable of nothing if you don't.
I mean, even myself, I mean, friends and, you know, close friends that I know come to me often just because they know I've been running camera for a long time, and they have a camera, basically the situation I have, they have this camera, but they only know about, you know, 25% of what it's capable of. And, you know, learning those little details that you really can't learn, you know, on a computer program or whatever, that, you know, working with you and Nick and, you know, all the guys involved with your stuff has definitely helped. And, you know, I'd be kidding if I said that I didn't learn a lot of what I did by messing it up, you know.
Oh, well, dude, I still do. I still do. As a matter of fact, I'm a firm believer in, you know, in the early stages, can you just mess it up and learn it? No, because you don't know the questions to ask, right? You don't know what you messed up. You just know that doesn't look good. Or, that's super shaky and I don't know why. Or, you know, the color's off on this and I don't know why. But at least when you get that formal education, it's not all going to sink in day one. But like you said, you go out and you keep messing up, you're going to go, you know what? You go back and watch that footage and, you know, it's like looks blue or gray. You're going to go, man, you know I screwed that up now. And now I remember from the class, I know what it was. Bam, you're going to fix it. And chances are you're not going to screw that up again, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
So, yeah. But yeah, man, Well, that's good. That's good to hear that you're still out there. Well, I assume you're still out there doing it. You know, that was a lot of years ago. How long did you work for the Bearded Buck then? I guess when did you leave the
Bearded Buck? Almost, probably about 2 years. I worked with them.
Okay.
And
all right.
Then I decided I wanted to sort of pursue my own venture with camera stuff outside of the hunting industry. I went back to my wedding and family portrait business that I started. Started 83 Media right around the same time as I started really getting into the film and the hunts thing. I was doing some family photography, senior photos, that sort of thing. But I went back to my day job for a little bit there and worked to build up my wedding photo and video business. And this summer, actually, with a couple of weeks ago, would have been my second year of full time in that industry. So,
okay. Okay.
But that's definitely working for Jerry and, you know, with you and Nick has been a huge reason that I was able to finally pull the trigger on going to work for myself. And
sure.
So
you learned a lot, I'm sure, in that 2 years of working with Jerry and the Bearded Buck. Filming hunts professionally for a TV show, once you learn the ropes and the basics and get that formal education, man, that's gonna teach you a lot in 2 years, because you are put into some intense situations filming for a show. I know that for a fact.
Yeah. And
what honestly, is your standard? Go ahead. No, you
I
go.
Said honestly, wedding photography and filming, you know,
I guess
deer similar. Turkey hunts ends up being ironically similar as far as from a aspect of, you know, you need to know how to adjust your camera settings to get the best image and the highest quality, you know, for a deer or turkey hunt. But I've been in some churches and some wedding venues where you gotta be able to adjust that on the fly just as quickly as you would for a deer or a turkey. So it's for definitely sure. definitely helped helped me learn how to run my camera on the fly. So
yeah, I'd say the final 30 seconds before a shot on an animal and the bride walking down the aisle are probably super similar in intense moments as a shooter.
Oh, absolutely. I mean,
you're in trouble.
Yeah. I mean, I don't think I start shaking as much as I do for a bride walking down the aisle as I do like a big buck, maybe.
Right. Right. Wait till it's your bride walking down the aisle.
I don't think I'll have a camera in my hand for that.
So. Well, yeah. If you do, you're definitely in trouble.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I'm sure Jerry's probably listening to this thinking of the buck that I filmed during the Campbell Challenge out in Illinois that year.
I remember that when he had to tell you to calm down.
Oh my gosh, he still tells that story. I was like, man, haven't you seen any other stories you want to tell other than that one? But yeah, that was the first big buck that I had ever pointed a camera at, really, in the woods and in a situation to be able to try to shoot it. And he makes it a little more dramatic than I think it was, but apparently he thinks I was shaking a lot and may or may not have scared the deer the other direction.
Yeah. Well, if you got it on film, there'd be proof.
I think I got a little bit of it running away.
Yeah. As you were hyperventilating behind the camera. And
I wish I would have unplugged the microphone on that one.
It's so good, man. So good. It's funny. I tell a quick story about that. I was filming my brother many years ago. I mean, I'm talking, I was early 20s. So a long, long time ago. And it was an old 8mm camera. And it was one of the first ever wireless mics I'd ever used. And it was plugged in to the camera and we were on a hog hunt. We were hiking up these super steep hills to get to where them hogs were. And we were hunting with dogs. You could hear the dogs when you were getting closer and the moment was getting intense. And filmed them, killed the hog and went back and we were watching the footage. And I am busting my brother's chops about how bad he's huffing and puffing going up this hill, right? Well, then as he shot the hog, we realized that his wireless mic wasn't working the whole time.
Oh boy.
So guess what? That was me huffing and puffing the whole time because the camera mic going. So he turned it right around and he goes, wait a minute, that mic wasn't working. He goes, that was your mic. That was you huffing and puffing, run up them hills. I'm like, yeah, I guess it was. I'm sorry. Not bad.
Yeah.
But so obviously, okay, I got two questions for you.
Okay.
One, what was your, this may be a tough one because it's been a lot of years, right? 10 years.
Yeah.
Number one highlight moment for as a cameraman filming in the hunting world.
I got these same questions written down for you, but
well, now you just gave me your leading question. Now I know it's coming.
I know. That is a tough one. I mean, I love turkey hunting, so I wouldn't say one specific turkey hunt, but a lot of the turkey hunts that I filmed were my favorite. I mean, you just,
yeah,
the overall, you know, you get a lot more calling and interaction with turkey hunting, but
yeah,
I don't know. I would say maybe when you were on this trip, the spot and stalk antelope out in Montana. Something that I honestly, before I filmed it, I had no interest in antelope hunting or spot and stalk at all whatsoever. And after we got done with that trip, it was cool. So it was probably something I never would have done on my own.
Yeah.
It was if I didn't, you know, go to film that, but it was definitely cool. Just that whole trip in general. You know, being able to run and gun essentially, and, you know, having to use the terrain and all that sort of stuff that went into archery antelope hunts was pretty cool.
Heck yeah. Heck yeah. So now
just being in Montana, I'd never been to Montana. That we were in the mountains. We were in sort of a different terrain.
Well, we were in eastern Montana. Yeah. It was beautiful river bottom ground. And there were mountains up in the back there where they mule deer hunt and stuff. That brought us area. It's a beautiful area.
Yeah. We didn't see the whitetail hunting kind of stunk for us, but you ended up shooting a buck that trip.
I did on the very last
crazy looking one.
Yep, the very last evening. So that was kind of cool that it all came together. Yeah,
who was filming you on that trip?
Josh DeBerry.
Yes, that's right.
Josh DeBerry. Josh is a student of ours, obviously, a few years after you were, but still a long time ago, you know, 8 years ago, 9 years ago, something like that. But I'll never forget that trip because Josh was just one of the nicest guys in the world you ever meet. He's funny. He's fun to be around. Had a blast with him. But he's always a mess, right?
Yeah.
Just always like, oh. And we're like, what, Josh? He's like, the batteries didn't charge all the way. I'm just going to have to deal with half charged batteries, you know, like whatever. So he'd do this like day after day after day. There'd always be something new. And I remember it was like day four on that trip. And we had to drive like 30 minutes to get to where our tree stand was for our evening hunt. Well, we're like 20 minutes into the drive. Josh, what's the problem now? He's like, this is a bad one. Like what? He goes, forgot the camera. like the whole thing? Like the whole camera. Like the camera that we need to film this hunt with. He goes,
yeah.
Yes, Tom, the whole camera. We need to turn around. I'm like, oh my gosh.
I can picture him saying all this too.
Oh yeah, you can picture him, right? Like that long face, just upset. Yeah. And just like, he's just like, oh. It was so, I'm like, well, yes, we're going to turn around for that one because there's no, monitoring battery or anything. We got to have a camera to film it. So back to the camp we went, grabbed the camera, and I'll never let them live it down. And here I am 8 years ago, whatever, still talking about it. So,
funny. I got a story about Josh too while we're on the subject. if you don't remember this, when we were at the Campbell Challenge, remember he had been in that for multiple years and never won it.
I do remember that.
Remember that whole scenario? Then we did the hiding the turkey that we shot, and I felt bad, honestly.
I don't remember that. Wait, refresh my memory on what you did with the turkey. Okay. I'm trying to remember.
So the last day of the hunt, you know, the leaderboard or whatever you call it, we were like neck and neck with him, and I can't remember who his hunter was.
Oh, I
was it James?
Yes, it may have been James. Yep, it was yes. James. It was okay. James. Yep.
And you know, you played it out like a reality show or something, and we were behind them, I believe, or real close to them, and did they not? I think they may have shot something.
I think they did, and they, but the something was messed up, like on the actual footage or something. So,
however it went down, we had shot a turkey the evening before, which basically like sealed the deal for us, and we ended up sleeping in the next morning. And those guys, I believe that when they left, they had saw that we were still like. Basically, we were still in bed.
Yeah.
And I think they thought like they had it in the bag, like a little bit of defense there. And we ended up staying in bed for a little bit because we had shot this turkey and knew that we kind of had it in the bag. And you released that footage during the scoring that evening.
Final scoring. Yeah. Yeah. That's
exactly. We looked at Josh's face and he was like, it was probably the same face he made when he realized he forgot that camera, but
I guarantee you it was.
But yeah, no, he's
over it.
You have to know him to understand it, but no, he's definitely a great camera guy. And
he's a good dude. He still reaches out. I feel like I hear from Josh like once every few months. It's just a quick text or something. Honestly, he really does keep in touch. He's got like 3 kids now or something.
Yeah, I think we're Facebook friends, and actually talked to James the other week there too a little bit.
So no kidding. Wow.
It's cool to make new friends, and that's actually the challenge that in Illinois where we met the Sharp brothers too.
Oh my God. Yeah, you're right. So, you're right. That is crazy.
They had a crappy hunt. Literally,
yeah.
Remember that?
I do. Literally, I do remember that. Yep. Oh, I'll never forget that story, man. Yeah.
Yeah. That just shows, you know, how many good friends we've met in 10 years. You know, 10 years. That's only a short amount of them. I could list about, you know, 20 other guys that I've met through just going to that one little school and, you know,
yep. For I've sure,
worked
man.
For worked for a few of them, and you know, became good friends with a lot of them, and it's a pretty good network. If I have any questions or anything on hunting or filming or anything basically across the country, I have somebody I can reach out to and ask them, you know.
Yeah.
But that's been one of the biggest advantages of going to the school there. So
what is your so my other question for you is, what is your standout freak out troubleshooting moment as an outdoor producer in that 10 years that you overcame or didn't, I guess, either way?
I know I'll think of it afterwards, but while I'm thinking, I definitely have one in the wedding industry that was a major freak out.
All right, let's hear that.
Maybe I'll think of a hunting one, but I was running the original A7S.
Yeah.
And it was a friend of mine's wedding that's probably going to listen to this. And luckily his video turned out good. So he's not going to be like, oh man, that's the reason. But, I was running this camera and it was, his wedding was in July, I believe. And it was like middle of the day, 95 degrees or something. And right in the middle of his ceremony, my camera just said, overheated, please cool camera down or whatever it says. My camera just became useless, basically.
No kidding.
And you know, much like a big buck coming in, you know, I'm in the middle of a ceremony, you can't just stop and, you know, redo it later. But I was freaking out, fumbling around with the camera, and I think I ended up taking the battery out and putting a new battery in, and that seemed to work. So I got it cooled down without. Luckily, it was a longer ceremony, and we were in the middle of some stuff that wasn't as important. And that was definitely a freak out moment for me there.
Crazy, man.
But
crazy,
man. I can't really think of anything
outdoor
major.
Yeah. Mine'll take you back a couple of years. I'll tell you mine.
Okay.
As far as from a production standpoint, but this is going to take everyone back because probably most people listening to this podcast didn't even shoot back in the tape days, but I tape? Filmed
Scotch tape.
Yeah. Scotch tape, duct tape. We're talking about tape, Tom. So I was filming my buddy's wife and on a whitetail hunt. She had never killed a buck with her bow before. And I was shooting an old Canon GL2 mini DV tape. Okay. Records to 1 hour at a time. Then you got to put new tape in. And to make a really long story short, she shot a buck at like 5 yards right under our stand. She hit him a little back. And so we let him go overnight and went to look for him the next morning. But that night, of course, we watched the footage over and over and over and over again. So it was rewind, play, rewind, play, rewind, play, rewind, play. Well, the next morning we ended up going over, buck went about 300 yards down the hill and into a pond, died out in the middle of a pond. And she got right out there, grabbed her buck out of the pond and drug it out of the pond. And it was amazing. And then we filmed, you know, her dragging her out, dragging the buck out and up onto the shore. Well, I'm filming her, do her reaction like, oh, I'm so excited. Da, 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 da. And in the middle of that, it hit me like a ton of bricks in my face. And went, oh no. I couldn't remember where I left the tape from the night before. Rewind, play, rewind, play, rewind, play. And I had this sneaky, ugly feeling that I didn't set it at the end of where we left off. So I stopped recording, went back and played it. And sure enough, you see the buck come in, the buck turns broadside. It's under our stand. And right before she shoots, it goes to the next day. So the kill shot was, I recorded right over top of the kill shot. Now, today's media, you can't do that. It's the beauty of it, right? It's clip, 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 clip. Yep. Back in those days, if you weren't leaving a little post roll and doing a little rewind and leaving a little there and then recording at the end of that clip to start recording a new clip, that's the risk you ran. And I recorded right over my buddy's wife's very first buck kill and boom. I mean, in the end, do we still have a story? Did we still get her getting her buck? We did. But the kill shot, which is obviously important if you're a cameraman and you get it. I know you don't know much about that, Mike, but no, I'm kidding. I felt like I felt so terrible. So terrible. But that was one of my lows that I could not recover from because nothing you could do. Record it over.
Yeah.
No.
I literally had that story written down because you told me that many times and I wanted to plug that in there. Not to make fun of you, but I just
thought if you can't make fun of yourself, you don't have a good enough sense of humor, nor are you gonna learn very much. I make fun of myself every day, Mike.
Yeah. I think of that all the time though, like the advancements in technology, like from a wedding standpoint, like I get done with a wedding and I might have 2,000 pictures, you know,
right?
I want to find somebody that did wedding photography back when they had to get photos developed and like, how did that look? But
yeah,
you know,
yeah,
it would be definitely a different process for sure. But
it's amazing. I mean, obviously, I saw a gigantic change in technology from tape to solid state media. I don't know that I will see the next giant change in that. I mean, I think, you know, I think and the only other one I could say would be the big change in how we view television, right? From broadcast to streaming.
Yeah.
I think that's been the only other big change that I've seen in my 25 years of doing this or whatever it's been. But, you know, you look at that stuff, Mike, and go, well, what can be next? How much better can the footage get? How much differently can how we view it from our cell phones now? I mean, it was such a giant change in this 20-year information age, era. I don't know that I will see another giant change like that. Improvements, yes, but man, we've been a part of some pretty big advancements in technology, and it's been pretty cool.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm sure the guys that got the first film recorded, you know, VHS back in the day probably said the same thing, though. What can they possibly do better than this? But, I'm sure there's something coming down the line. But
And I shot my first ever hunt, my first ever recorded hunt professionally. Okay. Personally, it was on 8mm. But professionally was on a giant beta cam, which if anybody listening to this knows what a beta tape is, or a beta camera, you can appreciate it. If you don't know, you should Google it because my camera weighed close to 40 pounds. The tape was as big as today's cameras.
Yeah. I might have to use that picture of you holding that thing for the episode art.
Absolutely, man.
You were younger than I am in that picture, probably.
I think.
How old were you?
I think I was right around 25.
So
quite a bit younger than you.
I'm surprised the picture was even in color.
That's all photoshopped. It's
okay. I got you. Yeah. I know we bounced around a lot here with topics and stuff, but I had in here to ask, you know, how you got into filming. Just briefly give me the story of your mentor that you always tell at the schools and stuff. I think that's an interesting story.
So obviously inspiration was early outdoor television. I was a part of it much differently than we are today, to where you really only watch television in one place. And that was ESPN Outdoors, right? They didn't even show the kill shots. And then that progressed into some other networks. And then all of a sudden we had kill shots, and then blossomed into Outdoor Channel and all these other things now that we have. But those early days of it, you know, I was watching Realtree, Primos, and the early Drury Outdoors stuff, and there was only a handful, right? And Realtree Monster Bucks was my first. Matter of fact, I used to rent VHS tapes at the local sporting goods store, and that was how I really first watched hunting, was I'd have to go in and do a 3-day VHS rental to watch them and then return them and rent a new one. So... Yeah, which is really crazy, but that's how I did it. That was my inspiration. But then part two to that inspiration was a man by the name of Dr. Leonard LeRoux III. He was a world famous wildlife photographer and producer, videographer over the years. If you Google him, you'll find just crazy and insane amounts of information and knowledge. He was, for many years, he was the world's most published photographer in the outdoor world. So he was also a writer on deer and deer hunting and all this. Well, what's cool is he lived in the same town as us. So therefore he spoke at my elementary school and my high school all the time growing up about different opportunities and in outdoor, you know, media, which back then was really photography. And I was inspired. Well, I got to know him personally, and in fact, so well that he invited me to his home, where he kind of let me hold that first ever beta cam that I'm referring to and let me mess around with it, kind of showed me the ropes. And, I'll never forget filming with it in his backyard. He had penned in deer just for educational purposes and film purposes, photography purposes. We went out in the area there and filmed whitetails and come back, and we sit at his deck and we're watching this footage. And by deck, I don't mean the wooden deck on the back of the yard. I mean, in front of the beta cam deck that he put the tape in to play it on the monitor. And we're watching the footage, and I'll never forget, he looked over at me and he said, well, son, he said, there's not much about a camera that I can teach you that you don't already know. And those words are verbatim. And I looked at him, I remember saying, Len, I was like, man, I gotta be honest. I really have no idea what I'm doing. I don't know any of those buttons are. I don't know what I'm doing. That's why I'm here. And he's like, well, he pointed to his eye. He goes, well, I can tell by watching this that you've got this. You've got an eye. He says, I can teach you all the buttons. I can teach you what they all mean and what they do. That's the easy part. But having the eye, that's the creative part. And that's what a lot of people are born with, and some aren't, you know? So that was pretty cool. And that stuck with me. And I then went on to use that camera. He let me use that camera to create our very own first television show, which wasn't mine. I was the producer on, and we had our very first produced television show on an outdoor channel in 2002. So I was filming hunts for about 7 years, 8 years before this, started in about 1994, 95. And then that was just recreational with my own cameras. And then first ever produced nationally, broadcasted stuff that I ever did was in 2002 on a TV show on Outdoor Channel, which he played a big role in helping me get there. The host of that show has since passed, actually. And in fact, Len Rue, at like 96 years old, just passed about 6 months ago or so. I don't know. Time flies, but it was in the recent months. So it was a shame to see him finally go. But I'm thankful for everything he did there. I've got signed books, and I've got video footage I shot with him, and, you know, was a part of shooting with him for a lot of years. So it's really cool. As a matter of fact, our very first television show we ever produced for ourselves, we aired as our Film the Hunt brand. It was on Sportsman Channel. You can still watch it today on YouTube or MOTV. It's episode one. Boy, I forget what the episode was even called. I'd have to go back and look, but it's our very first television episode ever that we produced for ourselves. And Len was kind of the focus of that. And my story with Len was the focus of that. And what's also really cool is that today is still my very favorite filmed episode, filmed hunt that we've ever done, where I was in front of the camera. Still to this day, which has been 9 years. That hunt is my favorite hunt of all time, with me in front of the camera. And that was a mule deer I shot in Montana. And if you go watch it, you'll find out why. I'll leave it at that. But that's a very long 23 year story wrapped in 3-4 minutes.
So yeah, that's similar to my story with just being in the right place, right time. You know, you happen to have a pretty big time, you know, mentor living right in the same town as you. And it just was meant to be, I guess.
So are you saying your big time mentor was me? Is that what you're saying, Mike?
No, you don't live in the same town as me.
That's so true. Okay. So it was your dad?
You just want me to admit it on air, don't you?
I do. It's so funny.
Starting to break up. The connection's bad.
yeah. We're hitting our limit on time here, Tom. We must end this podcast. Shoot, man. You're right, man. A lot of it's, I'd like to say luck, but, you know, there's really no such thing as luck. You got to put yourself in those positions. In front of those opportunities to have those things all come together, right? Just sit on your heels, chances are these things aren't magically going to happen. And you signed up for that class and you attended that class. Step one.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. I mean, don't get me wrong. It was, you know, two different times where some of the scariest times in my life was, one was leaving a good company and good career to go film some guy deer hunting, you know. And at the time I was young, and that was like, you know, my dream job and everything. And my friends and family probably got sick of me asking, do you think this is a good idea? Do you think it's a good idea? But there wasn't really much that was going to stop me from taking the leap on that. But then the second thing would have been, you know, pulling the trigger and going to work for myself. That had always been a goal of mine. I didn't necessarily know what I was going to do. I still really don't know what I'm good at, and I'm still trying to find something I'm good at.
Yeah, me too, man.
but
me too. I mean,
you know, my mom runs her own business now. I have a cousin that's very successful, and I've always seen, you know, them taking the leap and running their own companies and you know, the freedom of it. And that was always a goal of mine. But definitely, you know, meeting you and meeting Jerry, you know, the knowledge of business and the outdoor world and everything that, you know, between you two is one of the biggest reasons why I, you know, decided to pull the trigger and go to work for myself. And definitely took a lot of advice and, you know, saw how you guys run your companies and everything. And that was a big, big inspiration for me starting my own company. So definitely
I appreciate it, man.
Both of you enough for that. But
yeah, well, I appreciate it. It's like I said, I think, you know, you first got to do it for yourself. You got to be real with yourself and I don't care what it is you're doing, but especially in the media and technology world, because it's just changes so fast. You be honest with yourself and know that you got a lot to learn. Hell, I got a lot to learn still, learn every day. But if you're honest with yourself and you put yourself into those positions to learn and network and do that stuff, I truly believe, you know, that's when things start to come together for people. And back to what I said earlier, I commend you for doing that. You know, for me, it's awesome to look back at, you know, shoot, I've been filming and doing this stuff for 25 plus years, but now, having taught it for over a decade, it's really cool to look back and see all these stories of all these producers that started by making that decision and have gone on to make careers, full-blown careers out of this, whether they're working for somebody or they built their own business and they're doing, you know, whether it's all outdoor or a mixture like you're kind of doing outdoor as well as other stuff. It's cool for me to, you know, and not like I'm sitting over here going, oh, well, it's all because they did our classes. No, it's awesome for me to sit back and know that we just played a small role in helping them educate themselves, inspire themselves, and launch themselves into, you know, down their own paths, because everybody's path is different. And most of the times, even what you think is your path is going to change. So it's going to be different even than you think. And that's okay. That's a good thing. And I believe that with no matter what you do. And that's especially true in the outdoor production world, because, again, I've said it 10 times already. I'll say it again. It's changing so rapidly every single day. And you got to be able to move and shake with the times to stay relevant and to stay busy. Right. Yeah. So continued education is no joke either. You got to keep learning, man.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's, I mean, obviously your camera schools and everything are geared around the outdoor industry, but I mean, I would be a perfect example that, I mean, most of what I do, you know, for work now is not in the outdoor world, but your classes were a huge reason why, you know, I'm able to do what I do and take the knowledge from your classes and transfer them to, you know, I do a lot of wedding photography, videography, and recently got into some real estate stuff. But I'm using, you know, the knowledge and techniques and stuff that, you know, we learned, you know, sitting in a tree stand. And
yeah, so for sure, not, man.
Definitely not limited to filming hunts, you know, with taking your classes. And I know a lot of people, you know, that also do other avenues. I mean, Chris is doing a lot of real estate stuff now too. I heard on your,
yeah, he's built quite a good real estate business, honestly, in the video and photo realm. It doesn't hurt that his wife's a realtor. You know, but obviously that's helped him connect with a bunch of other realtors in their group, you know, and he's actually quite busy. Busy enough to where he's actually gone on some of these hunts and he's had to hire somebody to fill in his shoes while he's gone to keep things flowing. So good on him for keeping that open mind and knowing, man, often building a business can't be one track minded. It can't be one path. You got to branch out a little bit, spread your wings in order for growth. And yeah, a lot of these guys are doing that and I encourage it for sure.
Yeah. Yeah. Circling back, it is cool to see, you know, even the few classes that I've been to, one in particular, I don't think he went to class with me, but I just knew him from you guys, would be Matt Forsyth.
Yeah.
We were looking at, somebody was showed me a picture of a, I don't know whether one of those big crazy animals he's filmed.
Oh, I know.
Shoot, but I think it was a sheep that he had filmed Donald Trump Jr. on. And somebody had the picture and I said, oh, I know that guy. And yeah. He's like, yeah, that's Donald Trump's son. And I was like, no, the guy with the camera. I said, I went to camera school with them, and they were just blown away that, you know, that came from, you know, just one camera school. Or
I tell you, he's, I use Matt as an example a lot. A couple things. I say he's been to every stand out there, Pakistan, Jagistan, Makistan. I can't even
know
the stands. Because he's been around the globe filming crazy hunts with some crazy individuals, but he's the classic example of, did he make it there? Did he do that because he went to our schools? No, he made it there because he's him. He's talented. He's an extrovert. He puts himself out there. He makes sure he meets the right people. He's in front of people. He goes to these trade shows and events, and he's personable and he's good work ethic, right? Those are all the reasons he made it there. But who knows, right? If he hadn't made that first decision and to be humble enough to say, I want to learn this. I don't know what I'm doing. I need to go learn it. Let me go to this class. Who knows what would have happened? And that's the perfect example of what I mean of I'm proud to have played a small role, you know, in a stepping stone. So yeah, Matt's a great guy, a good friend. And I mean, I'm super proud of all his accomplishments. He's done amazing over the years. And you're going back 10, but you know, about the same as you, about 10 years. Yeah.
I think we worked together. It was I don't think it was a hunt, learn, compete deal, but it was the first time we all went to Texas together.
Okay. Okay.
I don't know. I tell this story all the time. I can't remember who else was there filming with you guys. But regardless whoever it was, one of your 70 to 200 lenses fell off a table and it shattered the ND filter on the front. And I've told everybody that I've ever told to buy this lens or that lens, make sure you put that $20 ND filter on the front of it. Cause it, that particular time it saved, you know, a $2,000 lens from being useless.
Yeah.
I can't remember who that was, but I think Matt was on that trip and that's where I'd first worked with him at. But, I don't know. I might have the details mixed up, but, I was just telling that story because I had my 70 to 200 get knocked over by a bride's grandfather at a wedding a couple months ago, and it shattered the ND filter, and that was it. So, I was like, thank goodness I spent the $14 to put that on there. But
it's worth its weight in gold, those things are. That's for sure, man.
Yeah. So a little bit about your show and stuff. We've been talking a time or two about this, but you know, a lot of people say about the TV world going away. I knew you had some info that we talked about in Harrisburg about that. Just if you want to go over some of that.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not going to pretend to be the guy that has the answers. I'm not, you know, there's people with running analytics on this, that, and the other thing and studies and all kinds of things. But here's my opinion. TV isn't going away at all. How or where we view it, maybe. But let's take Sportsman and Outdoor Channel, for instance, right? Like people said, oh, TV's going away. They're going to be gone. They're going to be gone. Well, no. You can just now view them and watch those channels live through your computer and Roku apps and your phone. And you're just, okay. You can maybe watch television on your computer or your phone, but that's not TV going away, right? That's a simple-minded answer. I think you need to look at it and say, okay, it's streaming differently for the most part.
Yeah.
Right. Broadcast on say a Dish Network, DirecTV or something people are getting rid of, but that network is being offered now throughout other channels and other apps and so on and so forth. So that you still have to have memberships for, you still have to purchase in one way or the other. In fact, I think it's better because now instead of buying a package deal through some big broadcast you know, or a satellite company, you can, for $5, $6, $7, buy a Outdoor and Sportsman channel package or whatever. You know what I mean? So, and there's obviously lots of different things and ways you can watch, but so I've actually seen it circle back around, Mike. Even from a promotion, like an advertiser standpoint, we actually have people coming back around and putting more money back into quote unquote television because they realize that it's needed. The eyeballs are still there. They're just being viewed in a different location. That's all. So, it's still through the networks and it's still getting the biggest eyeballs. You could say all you want about YouTube. YouTube's great. I think it is a movement. I think it's very important, but am I getting 6 million views on YouTube? Are most outdoor producers getting 6 million views on YouTube? Nope, they're not, you know, targeted audience. I get all that stuff. Again, I don't have all the analytics and everything. I'm not saying I have all the answers, but I still believe in what we do. I still believe our partners and sponsors still obviously believe in what we do. And I'm still proud to produce it because the best of the best are on Sportsman and Outdoor Channel, period. Yep. You know, in my opinion. Does that answer your question or did I lose you or where'd you go? Yeah. You fall asleep?
No, I was bringing up my list. No. Well, yeah, that's definitely.
And not to plug that, but if you've never watched our show is called Become One. And it does air on Sportsman Channel Monday nights at 9 PM Eastern. We are on 52 weeks. So we're on all year round. We have re-airs, I think an additional 4 or 5 times a week. So you can watch us a lot each week. I don't have all my air times in front of me. I probably should. You can look us up and on Sportsman Channel's website and have all our current, but our anchor slot is Monday nights at 9 PM Eastern.
Yeah. Yeah. There's one really good episode from Kentucky that you should probably look back at. There was a lot of fancy work.
But that was fun. Yeah. Huh? And a matter of fact, the canvas you had sent to me is right on my shelf behind me. You made a comment on it when I first got on the call with you, but,
Yeah,
it was a fun hunt. 10-pointer came out, rattled him right up, killed him and died in sight. That was awesome, man. It was fun hunt.
That would probably be one of my top 3 whitetail hunts that I ever filmed. And I was just telling my co-host, Tyler, who's probably pretending to work today, but regardless, he couldn't be on with us. But it was funny because, you know, I've played around with rattling and stuff before, but I always go back to that now and just remember that, like, you barely touched those horns together. And that sticks in my head. And I'm like, man, how many times did I like probably scare a deer the other way because I'm over there, you know, thinking I'm Lee Lakowski out in Iowa slamming these giant horns together and making a big racket. And all the little 2-year-olds that I'm trying to shoot are running the other way. But I just remember you know, barely touching those horns together and
tickling the tines, man.
When you said, here he comes, or whatever it was you said. I was like, yeah, right. That's not.
Yeah, happening. You thought I was joking. I remember that. And he was already at like 30 yards.
Yeah. And if I remember, that was what, mid-October? End of October, maybe?
That was the end of October. No, that wasn't mid. Yeah. That was very end of October, close to Halloween. Yeah.
It was just really abnormally warm, if I remember right, in that afternoon.
Yep. Yeah.
And we had went down into there basically specifically because the guy had a picture of a buck near that little pond behind us.
Yeah.
And he thought maybe he'll be in there because of it being so hot, maybe be near water.
If you remember too, we brought the decoy that day.
Yeah. That's the only deer I've ever filmed over a decoy. And that was another reason that was pretty cool. We went from sitting around, you know, wondering what we were having for dinner to next thing you know, tracking this deer that came charging right in, but
he sure did, man. Came
that was a pretty cool hunt. That was our second evening, right? Because we had hunted that first evening in that spot that we just kind of went in and wung it, and then hunted the next morning there, and then so we had a lot of time.
I think you're 100% right. Yeah,
a lot of time to sightsee. Normally, it doesn't happen on the
No, it doesn't. It doesn't, especially for me. Evening, but that was an extremely odd case for me. That's for sure.
Yeah. I mean, it was probably just my good luck, would be my guess.
Well, it probably was. Yeah, it was.
Well, I haven't filmed you since, so if you ever run into a
bad
luck streak,
yeah, I know where to go. I'll be like, okay, I need mic back. I need to change this stuff around here. Yeah.
What was the reason? I think we had Blake from Badlands was with us. That's why. Jordan gave you up for the day, right?
Yep. Exactly. Yeah. I just thought they had never filmed together, I don't think, at that point. So I thought, well, you go with him and you know, and I'll
take. I think the real reason was because I was using your big fancy camera that I'd never ran before. So able to teach me as you went.
Yeah, that's a good point. That is a good point. But, yep, for sure, man.
Yeah.
For sure. So. But
That was definitely a change of pace. Usually when I was, you know, I never had Jerry try to teach me how to run a camera while we were in the tree.
Yeah. No, and nor would Jerry even try. He'd be like, I don't know, figure it out.
Yeah.
Figure it out, man.
Yep.
It's funny.
Yeah. We're pretty much wrapping it up here, I think. But I did have a couple questions.
A quick 35-minute podcast that turned into 1 hour on the dot.
Yeah, right. That's why we said before we were going to set aside a lot of time.
Go ahead, questions. Shoot.
You know, yeah, we're always getting questions, you know, from our YouTube stuff or just friends in general, you know.
Yep.
I want to get into filming. You know, what do I need to do, whether it be, you know, camera gear or where to start or where to look. You know, obviously, you know, talk about your camera schools a little bit, but maybe just like a rough idea of gear that you would want to get to somebody to start for deer. We'll just say deer because that's typical.
Well, I think first of all, today's world, especially, I don't ever pretend to be the specific gear guru because there's so much available. You know, I know you know too, Mike, we turned to Bedford Camera and Video, which is bedfords.com, by the way. We do have promo code Film the Hunt that can be utilized there for some savings, and anybody can reach out to me for direct contacts too over there. The guys at Bedford keep on top of all the specific new models and what's hot and all that stuff. Here's what I'll tell you. Budget is obviously what's going to drive it, right? I will tell you that you can't, you know, whatever your budget is, get in the gear. Get in the gear for that matches your budget, because having the basics is where most people start, you know? So a camera that fits your budget with a tree arm tripod, fluid head kind of deal. Good shotgun mic, maybe a wireless mic if you're filming your buddies and things like that. Those are the important things. And then learning, of course, the basics and how to use that stuff is important. And that's where our classes come in. But from the gear side of things, I'll say this. If you're someone that just self-films everything, you're always by yourself, you're looking for ease and price point, and look at some of those small camcorder packages there. If you go to Bedford's website, they actually have an outdoor section where you can look at packages. Look at some of those outdoor filming packages and look at some of the camcorders. If you're more of an aspiring, you know, professional or producer, somebody that wants to learn more and kind of from the ground up and take this somewhere and maybe do something, you should be really looking into more of the mirrorless cameras, the interchangeable lens style cameras, something you can shoot video and high-end photos with. I'll leave it at that as far as the gear is concerned. As far as running it, learning it, I know we talked about our schools in the beginning, but you can find us on filmthehunt.com. Filmthehunt.com, you go on there, you're going to see online classes, on-site courses, and our ultimate, you know, kind of where people are looking to get to, and that's our graduate program where you can get job placement and things like that if you so choose or are looking for that. And our online classes are, there's really only two options currently, but actually really exciting, and it's the only place I've actually talked about it so far on here. So hopefully Mike launches this podcast before September 1st. we are going to launch a brand new online class, which is going to be really more of that high level learning for that individual that is ready to learn more, but can't quite take a week away and spend the money to come out and all that other stuff. So we're going to launch that come September here. So that's really exciting news. But then our on-site courses are your full-on come out to Central Ohio, to our big outdoor education facility, spend a week, all-inclusive, lodge meals, lodging meals, all that stuff. We've got two different levels of those courses for both field production, which is camera work, camera operator, and then editing, two layers of editing class, two levels of editing class, beginner to advanced. And actually, exciting news, only place I've talked about this still so far, is we're going to be introducing a new level of those in-person courses come January. We'll be launching those and they'll be available sometime next spring or summer. So really exciting stuff. I'm not going to go into more detail on those. There's still some details being worked out there, so I don't want to overspeak or misspeak, but a brand new level of learning there, which is going to make each one of those courses, field production and editing, three-tiered systems, three levels of learning. So giving people a lot of advanced levels, a lot of levels from beginner to advanced that they can take part in if they really want to do something with this and turn it into a profession. So filmhunt.com, you can reach us in the office, 740-868-8180. And you can reach out to me through email through our website. If you connect on Contact Us, I will get those emails. So, yeah, man. You can also find us on YouTube. You search our Film the Hunt on YouTube. You can find some information there as well as some television. That episode I referred to earlier is on there, episode one. And then you can also find us on YouTube under Become One as well. So subscribe to our channels and you can watch lots and lots and lots of outdoor content and television. So that's it, awesome. Mike. Man, that's all I got. We're over an hour, dude.
Oh, man. Yeah, we are. I appreciate you stopping on here today and, you know, giving us a sneak peek of the new camera classes and stuff coming up. All 17 of our listeners will love that. But
yeah. Well, hey, man, you know, those seven count.
Yeah. 17. Well, come on.
I said 17. 17. Okay. Oh, well, yeah. Shoot, man. All right.
Yeah.
No, that's awesome, man. For sure. And anybody that listens to this podcast, if they want to do the online class, the $300 cameraman course deal, be willing to extend a discount for those people listening and get you $50 off that. Here's the key. Hop on the website, email me direct, tell me you heard about it on Mike's podcast here, and I'll get you a discount code. So I'd like to extend that for anybody listening. So,
yeah. I appreciate that. And I'll vouch for, you know, anybody looking to attend one of the in-person classes. It's definitely worth the money. Without going into too much detail, you could jump onto Tom's podcast, listen to a couple of their episodes that you guys did with Chris last year. I remember you guys mentioning this about the details and, you know, how much money he made in the first year of his, you know, career, and basically it easily paid for the classes and in a few jobs. And, you know, it's definitely worth it. The hands-on stuff. I mean, I'm the type of learner that, you know, I don't want to sit in front of a screen forever. So the online classes definitely were good, but, attending all of the, you know, the in-person and then the editing class, that definitely took my skill level
for sure
to another level, I would say.
Yep.
It could only have went up. It couldn't have went any lower. So.
Right, I guess you're right. Only one way it could go.
Yeah.
No, and, exactly. And that's the online stuff, man. I'm really proud of the curriculum we've built currently, and I'm really proud of what we're putting together right now. But I'll say the online classes are built for two people. One, either a very budget conscious individual that has only X to spend, or B, the individual that just cannot make the extra time to come out to the in-person courses. If you can spend the money and you can make the time, if you want to be serious about this, the in-person courses are, in my opinion, the only way to do it. based on the in-person, hands-on, direct one-on-one, the question and answer, and all the networking that you're going to get out of them. It's the only way to springboard you into it as an actual career path. And I'll leave you with that.
Yeah, absolutely. Yep, definitely check out everything that Tom and Nick got going on over at Become One and Film the Hunt. And again, Tom, just want to thank you for everything over the last 10 years. You know, probably wouldn't have done it if I would have never came to that first class, and I'd probably still be making envelopes or whatever I was doing before that. So definitely one of the biggest reasons for my career path, and I thank you for everything you've done for me.
Well, you're very welcome, man. You've earned every minute of every year. So I'm glad to, as I said earlier, play a small part in kicking that off for you. And it's been a pleasure. And that canvas over my shoulder on the wall reminds me of it all the time. And I appreciate it, my friend. I really do.
Maybe you'll get it hung up in the next 5 years.
Well, it's kind of hung up. It's leaning on a ledge. I need a dang frame for it. And I wanted my dad to build me something custom, and he would, but I haven't even asked him yet. So I just got to do that. So maybe this podcast will kick me in the ass and help me do that. But
yeah, there you go.
That was an absolute pleasure, Mike. I hope everybody at home has a safe hunting season coming up. I hope you hop on our website, check it out. Please feel free. If you ever have any questions, never hesitate to reach out via email, especially a great way to communicate. I'm always the one checking in, and I will respond. So
absolutely. Thanks, Tom. I appreciate it.
You're welcome, man. Enjoy the rest of your day. And thank you guys.
Yep. You too. Bye.
See you, bud.
Well, there you go, guys. That was a lot of information crammed into one, but like Tom said, definitely check out Become One and Film the Hunt on all their social medias and websites. And we're actually going to do a discount code here. If you get in touch with us, we'll get you guys $50 off one of the online classes. So send us a message if you need that, and we'll definitely hook you guys up if we can. Be sure to check us out on social media at Creekside Wildlife, Facebook, Instagram. Get on our YouTube, subscribe, check out our videos. Let us know what you guys think about them. Let us know what you guys want to hear on this podcast. We got some apparel we're going to be launching here soon, so check out our social medias for that. And be sure to drop a review and a rate on our podcast. We appreciate it, and we appreciate everybody supporting us. And see you next time.